SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's for on a bench on a plane, pre-Friday, doling out Minnesota mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, the bad, Santa Barbara, the bad, apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fucking shit up Shadoobie, along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, Carver High this afternoon, ladies. Mafia running it with Jake the Snake on a C2C rundown here. We're looking at a heavy hitters club. Kent Sterling will join us from Indianapolis to talk about the Colts and Joe Flacco. Terry Bowden in the second hour. Of course, our college football insider from Bowden Blitz. Marenzi, a double shot from Vancouver in the 5 p.m. hour. And then at the top of the fourth, which would normally be the 6 o'clock hour, we'll do a segment with Kenny White from Vegas, our boy in Sin City, with all the skinny on college and pro football for this weekend for sure. Carver High, a global series game going on in Finland right now. And I'm convinced that you and I are the only people in America watching the Panthers and Stars, albeit that it's a great game between two great teams, but it's all Panthers 4-2 in the second.
It is all Panthers right now as they are in Finland. That's right, Finland for today and tomorrow on a Friday afternoon. NHL loves this. They usually do one series at the beginning of the year, which was that Czechoslovakia Devil Sabres. And then in early November, they hit some of the northern regions of Europe. And they go to Finland here for the Panthers and the Stars. The Panthers in this game have goals from Reinhardt, Lundell, Barkov, and Rodriguez to build that 4-2 lead. And they're on the power play now about midway through the second period. So we'll see if they can extend with a little afternoon hockey.
I call up the Penguins ticket office and I say,
"Oh boy!"
I say, "Hey, I know the chick, right? Like she's harassed me in a good way for season tickets over the years, and so I know her." And I call her, "Hey, Amy, it's Pharrell in New York City. I was wondering if I could get two tickets to the Sharks game on the 16th. It's the Saturday night game at 7 o'clock. I'm going to go to the Ravens game the next day." She said, "Yeah, we don't sell tickets anymore at the ticket office." And I was like, "What? Why do you have an office then?" I said, "What?" I said, the Penguins ticket office doesn't sell tickets." "No." She said, "The box office and the Ticketmaster sell the tickets now." And I was like, "All right, so I got to go through them." Like, who in their right mind? Like 2 years ago, I bought tickets at the ticket office. My entire life, I called the ticket office and got tickets. And then I call today and they have a ticket office that doesn't sell tickets. I said, "Well, man, how do you guys keep your jobs? You don't sell tickets." So I got to go through Ticketmaster or SeatGeek or StubHub or whatever you guys do. Like, I've done it before, but I used to just call the ticket office and get them, and that would be the end of it. But I got to deal with this. Honestly, there's got to be a better way.
I gave you the stiff arm over there at the ticket office. Gave you the stiff arm. Everything's electronic now. There's no more dealing with humans when it comes to tickets. You have to just go and buy them like everybody else. Everything on your phone.
If I'm running the organization, I'm thinking, you know, bottom line, we're doing our annual cuts. How many people are we paying in the ticket office?
Who's in that ticket office over there? They're in that ticket office. We might as well get rid of them.
I guess they're
selling season tickets, or would that be the sales department? Is that the sales department who does?
Who in their right mind would buy tickets to see that team for the price that you pay for season tickets to the NHL when there is all, like, they just won last night. He scored both goals, Crosby. No one else scores. They lost 6 in a row before that. I mean, can you imagine trying to buy season tickets to watch that monstrosity? Did you see today they wrote about them? They said that they're a like a traveling circus now You got to see them before they retire. Malkin, Letang, and Crosby. They're not a good team, but you can watch the traveling circus as they come around the league. You can watch them one last time together. Like, honestly, it's embarrassing how old and crappy they are. And their goalies,
yeah.
Honestly, I could put a stuffed animal. You remember the commercial with the walrus? The Geico yes. commercial or progressive yeah. commercial with the walrus? I'm looking to sign that guy, the walrus.
You need him. That's never good when they basically are calling you a retirement show. You're just going around. It's like when Kiss goes on tour for the 970th time, final farewell tour.
Yeah.
We're just getting it done. We're not winning any more titles. We're just making sure that we fill the pockets.
Gene Simmons in 12-foot heels showing his tongue.
Nothing like that at all. So we have that. Happy Friday. We have a lot to do, of course, because it is a Friday on Coast to Coast. We have all the football that we are going to go through for the entire weekend. Have lots of NBA stuff. Why don't we start, and we'll do a lot of this. We'll get this out of the way in the first hour that we'll be together, is the Jets beating the Texans last night to open up week number 9, Thursday Night Football at MetLife on a Halloween for Halloween night. I've seen it all this morning already. Save the season. Season's back. Jet season is back
Super
on a
Bowl.
Go. 3-6. They're very weak bottom of the AFC. That last spot, not great teams. The Jets are back in the mix here for what they're going to be going on. We will do all of that later on. But that was
Those
a hell
fans
of a catch.
Cussing right there. At
Those
the,
were fans. Yes.
Just cussing that they're going to make the Super Bowl.
What a catch. I will say, though, that was a hell of a catch by Wilson. Scotty, a hell of a catch
yeah,
by Garrett Wilson.
Listen, it was a great catch. And, I mean, let's get honest here. He was out of bounds.
I was very surprised that they overturned it. It doesn't take away the fact that it was a hell of a grab by him. But you remember the Steeler game? Was that against the Giants the other night where
the two legs down.
Pickens had two, his one same foot hit twice, and they didn't give it to Pickens in a Giant game.
And then this guy does it.
But, right, like he had his one foot, the same foot goes down, but because it was his calf, that counts as the entire body.
The
rules
shin.
Are impossible. The shin, whatever it was. The shin counts as your entire body. And then that's
well,
good, apparently.
Anyone,
you don't need 2 feet.
Look, anyone that saw that can sit there and tell me that guy's entire leg wasn't out of bounds. I mean, his knee and shin was out of bounds. And then the bottom portion of his shin was in bounds. And so they gave him the catch because it was such a great catch. I think it was a horribly reviewed call. The guy was out of bounds. I mean, like anywhere else, any part of your body touching white, you're out of bounds. But not if you make a great one-headed catch that they can turn into a second Odell Beckham catch. That was no more a catch than flying a kite. He was out of bounds. I don't deny that it was a great catch. But I have to be honest with myself. And I bet on the Jets. I told you I won. I won the game. I covered. I said 1.5, 2.5. It didn't matter. I bet him. And I regret betting him, even though I won the bet because I hate him. But the reality is that you have to be honest with yourself. That guy was out of bounds. It was not a catch.
I was surprised that they overturned it. I was very surprised that they made it a catch. And look, that kind of factored into what we said yesterday. The line was so fishy that the fix was in, and then they overturned that touchdown as well. So maybe it was for the Jets to get that win over the Texans. He found Adams for the first time. We rang the bell there. We'll give you that later on. We have all the games for this weekend. We got huge college games like Ohio State and Penn State. A lot going on today, Scotty, on a Friday heading into the weekend.
Yeah, there's even NBA and NHL action now that we're done with baseball. At least I'm done with it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ken Sterling is our all-everything in Indianapolis and the Hoosier State in general from Sterling in the Mornings on WGCL there and a regular on C2C here on Sports Grid. Ken, it's great to see you as always again. And since you have that sweet Hoosier hoodie on, that is just fantastic. I mean, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I have a tumbler of their, you know, basketball warm-up pants. I have a big tumbler I drink rum out of with a the red and white stripes. It's just the candy cane are just fantastic. The next time I'm in Bloomington, I'm going to buy a pair of those pants, I think. I want to start with them because they're playing at 8-0, and they're playing in East Lansing, and Rourke is allegedly back. They're a great quarterback. I thought Taven Jackson did a hell of a job. You know, Trace's little brother did a hell of a job last week against Washington. Can they win this game on the road and then handle Michigan in Bloomington to set up a behemoth game at the Horseshoe in Columbus against the Buckeyes?
You know, first, isn't it wonderful to drink in celebration for a Hoosier victory instead of drown our sorrows with rum out of a candy stripe tumbler? My goodness. And how long has it been since we've been able to do that? Indiana's going to win on Saturday. They are a really well-coached team. That defense is so fundamentally sound. They don't blow assignments. They make every tackle. The offense, it hums along. Whether Rourke is a quarterback, he would be the preferable guy, and he's going to start. Taven Jackson, I think, did fine work, but it's that offensive line. It's the running game, Justice Ellison. They got good receivers, and it's Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti has imbued this team with a fundamental level of football that we've never seen in Bloomington. So we're starting to talk like fans of a program that matters, and we're starting to walk with some swag and some arrogance, and that's really foreign to me to talk about Indiana going to East Lansing and just kind of saying, yeah, of course they're going to win, and then they're going to beat Michigan down in Bloomington, and we're going to go to Columbus. I'm getting on a bus going to Columbus, and I'm going to celebrate in Columbus when they beat Ohio State. We don't talk like that very often.
Wow. Hey, do you think that Kurt Cignetti, with what he's done at James Madison and at Indiana, which is start basically 16-0 in both places, is he going to stay at Indiana, or is he going to leave and go to a big-time superpower? Because a lot of people think he's going to bolt.
And I don't think so. I think he's going to stick, and I'll tell you why. He's 63 years old. And I think that what Kurt Cignetti craves is available for him at Indiana. Number one, Indiana has deep pockets, and they're going to be able to pay him whatever he needs to be paid in order to keep him. But secondarily to us, and primarily, I think, to him, is legacy. Like, if he went down to Bama, if they booted Kalen DeBoer and he went to Bama, he is always going to be in the shadow of Nick Saban and Bear Bryant. At Indiana, there's no legacy person. I mean, God bless Bill Mallory, who's a wonderful coach, but you don't build a statue to Bill Mallory. Kurt Cignetti is the kind of guy, he could wind up, that could be Kurt Cignetti Stadium. You know, that legacy position is open for him, and I think that's what he craves.
Bill Mallory was there when I was there, and he did a hell of a job at Indiana. They have never been good. Basically, 1967, their only Rose Bowl. So to see what happened with Corso last week was pretty cool. To see him win was cool. To see him playing in Nebraska on Fox at noon was as the big game of the day was cool. And now that, you know, I just want him to win these two games so that they have a shot to go to Columbus at 10-0 would be unbelievable. And we'll see what Ohio State does against Penn State tomorrow. Let's talk about Joe Flacco. I think he's better than Richardson to begin with. I thought the game in Jacksonville when he threw those dimes to Pierce, that's all I needed to see, that this guy is still the guy that won a ring, still the guy that carried the Browns to the playoffs, and he's doing it again with the Colts. And I'm not surprised at all they benched the kid after he quit on his team.
You know, you said the operative word. That was perfect. He's a kid. He's 22 years old. He hadn't started a lot of football games. He's so physically gifted that I don't think anybody's ever brought real adversity to this kid. And so now he's got adversity. He has failed as an NFL starter. We'll see how he responds to that adversity. Most of the time in life, people experience adversity. They learn from it. They bounce back. There's more adversity. You and I know that in broadcasting, that happens all the time. That kid is so otherworldly talented that nobody has ever visited upon him the kind of adversity that Shane Steichen, Chris Ballard have, and it's going to be up to him to respond to it well. He has physical gifts that Joe Flacco can only dream about, but that's not the only thing there is to playing football and playing quarterback in the NFL. You've got to be able to function, and you've got to be able to read defenses and throw guys open instead of throwing the football when guys are open. And that's what Joe Flacco is going to be able to do. This is an offensive unit with a really good, mature offensive line. They've got good weapons. They've got a terrific running back. They have decent tight ends. That thing can operate, and Joe Flacco is a guy it can operate with. He's going to check down instead of throw everything deep and just try to make great plays, which is what Richardson tried to do and was really his undoing. Not knowing to go out of bounds late in that game in Houston, that really showed as much to anybody as the tap out did. We'll see how Flacco responds. This is why they brought him in, as a safety net in case Richardson kind of balks. He did. So let's go Joe Flacco.
How do you think, I have 1 minute respectfully, how do you think they'll do against the Vikings at the Bank of Minneapolis Sunday night? And quickly, what do you think of Siakam and the Pacers the other night beating the Celtics?
You know, the Pacers first, they did blow a 24-point lead. This is not a very good basketball team. And it's frankly a little bit hard to watch. Halliburton's got to get better, and he's got to get better fast. As far as the Colts, I think they win in Minneapolis. I think they're going to beat the Vikings. I think they're only 5-point dogs. It's not like they're 8-point dogs. So this is a team, I think, that can go to Minneapolis and get a win in prime time. I think they're up for the moment.
He can't even leave his house, Sterling, with that hoodie on, because women in the neighborhood chase him down the street. He can't even walk his dog. Have a great weekend. Ken, good to see you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so Jets winners last night. I got to tell you, though, I'm watching the game, right, on Prime. And the first half, I thought, literally, it may have been the worst football game I ever saw in my life. Like, it was so bad. At one point, did you see me? I tweeted, I said, I can't even take this, Shaq. I can't even take it. It's so awful, this game. I can't take this any longer. I was like pounding drinks. I was like, what? I was eating chocolate candy. And I just thought it was the worst game I'd ever seen in my life. I went to bed and I put it on in the bedroom. I could hear it. And I'm like dozing off and I could hear it. And I woke up in the fourth quarter when they like scored and finished them off and saw the end of it. And then I switched and watched an NBA game that I watched the Suns game. But I thought that the Jets-Texan game, the first half was the worst half of football I've seen in years.
It was awful, really awful first half. You even had the play where it looked like the Jets were taking the lead, and Malachi Corey dropped the ball when he was going into the end zone.
It was a 21. They showed his face on national television for like 30 minutes. Like, he's the guy
that did it. That's a tough scene. But either way, the Jets do get off the deck and get themselves a victory. Now, obviously, everyone's talking about the Wilson catch, but here's the problem with us playing it, Scotty. Because it was called incomplete on the field, the calls all suck, all right? Nobody got the call right because everybody thought it was incomplete, so there's really no point.
Because it was.
I had a little juice on Devontae Adams last night. I've been chasing him to finally score a touchdown with Aaron Rodgers. So this was the touchdown to put the icing on the cake on Westwood One Sports last night from the Birdman.
Third down and three. 3:02 to go. Jets up by four. Shotgun for Rodgers. Takes the snap. Rodgers off his back foot. Throws it to the right side. A rainbow. Caught by Adams. He's going to take it all the way. Touchdown, Jets. Big play. And that connection, Rodgers to Adams, does the trick on Halloween.
Well, I mean, it's taken forever for that to work again, and they finally got it, and he scored a tutty. There you go. Ring the bell.
Ring the bell, indeed, which is what we always love to do. Here is Garrett Wilson. Of course, that catch gets overturned. Now everybody will remember it as a touchdown. Here is Garrett Wilson talking about it.
What an awesome catch.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, that's a good one there. That's a good one, and it's got to count. I remember saying to all them, I'm like, y'all gassing me up too early. Like, this got to count, y'all. Let's chill. Once it counted, I was like, yeah, all right. Now y'all can tell me whatever.
So this guy, I'll tell you a story about him. He's a really good kid. And he one day he came out to this high school to throw passes with this quarterback kid I know who, had no game, no anything. Just, somehow he's the good-looking kid. Here, you play quarterback. And then he's like, all right. And then the next thing you know, he's standing there with Garrett Wilson running routes for this kid, throwing him passes. And then he signed a ball for him. He gave him a pair of cleats. And the kid's barely been in the NFL for a minute, and he's out doing all kinds of stuff like that in, New York City with kids. I think it's really cool that he's just, accessible and he's hip. Everything you saw right there, that personality – is straight up legit. He's just a nice kid and a great talent, and he's good to people, and he's not a D. So we like to expose massive Ds on this show and abuse them regularly. And then we also like to acknowledge people that aren't Ds.
We do like to acknowledge that. And I will stay in that same realm. Since you said we're not going to acknowledge the we like to acknowledge when people are D's, Aaron Rodgers is one, and I'm going to pass on him today. I'll basically just tell you what he said afterwards, which I kind of do agree with. There's a big difference between being 3-6 and being 2-7. And I get it, 3-6, it still doesn't sound very good. But when you look at that middle of the AFC, that win last night kind of keeps them in shouting distance. The Chargers have 4 wins. The Colts have 4 wins.
Go win in Arizona. Go win in
exactly.
Arizona. And then we can
back
talk.
It up.
Then we can talk.
Got to keep winning. And their schedule gets more manageable after Arizona and those teams after that.
It's a
loss. So maybe there's a possibility for them to turn this thing around. Or maybe not. Maybe not.
Let's hope not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. So can we have Terry Bowden, of course, in the Bowden Blitz. You caught his show today on SportsGrid. It's awesome. And we get him every Friday on Coast to Coast. Coach, I want to start with the game in Boise tonight with San Diego State and the Broncos. Now, the interesting thing about San Diego State is that they're really not good, but strangely enough, they're 2-0 in the Mountain West. So they've only won 3 games, but 2 of them have been conference games, and they have no conference losses. All of their losses were out of conference, and Boise's 3-0 in conference and obviously 6-1 or whatever in ranked, but that's a lot of lumber they're laying at 23.5.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I've got. The Aztecs are going to play hard. They have something to play for. The bad thing is they're not very good at stopping the run, and Boise is great at running the football. The outcome is no question. I just think that's with the way they're mentally ready to play. They're back. They're still in the conference ball game. That 23 scares me, but I know Boise's going to do well. And I think what the other thing going for Boise, the running back, Ashton Gentry, had a very average 128 yards last week. And I think he's going to be pumped up to let a big one out there. So he has a great opportunity and a great desire to get back in the main thing and have a big, one of those 200 yard games.
So my neighbor gave me a present yesterday on for Halloween. She makes these tumblers, and she makes cocktail glasses with like college football logos on them. And she gave me 4 cocktail glasses with Aztecs logos on them. And I'm thinking, that might be all I need to hit this bet tonight, coach. I got the four new cocktail glasses. Let's talk about Saturday at noon. Duke and Miami down at Hard Rock in Miami Gardens as Manny Diaz goes back to see his old friends that no one likes him anyway down there. As the Canes, still unbeaten, number five in the country, unbeaten in the ACC. Do they handle the big piece against a tough 6-2 Duke team?
Yeah, again, another one. I'm not sure that the winner is in question, but this is really Cam Ward versus Manny Diaz. He was at Miami. He's a defensive coordinator, and he only knows one thing, and that's attack, penetrate, go after the quarterback. You know, he was a GA. He's cut his teeth under my father at Florida State and the great defensive coordinator, Mickey Andrews, and he came out of that. So his only answer to Cam Ward is to blitz him, pressure him. Hopefully that'll stop the run as they pressure him and don't give him time to make a lot of decisions. If you sit back with him, he'll be patient. He'll wait for somebody to come open. So I think you got to make something happen, good or bad. And I think that's the only thing Manny Diaz knows. So you got a game where I think Miami, his quarterback, going to be put in a situation where he'll have to react and react quickly. At least they will go with that for Duke.
Do you think that his coaching at Florida State, at Miami, at Penn State as the DC made him a better coach of who he is today at Duke?
Well, you know, the one thing that I'll say is I think anytime you go through a situation like Miami, you know, he's from Miami. His dad was the mayor of Miami. He loved that program. And so that's got to leave kind of a bitter taste in his mouth. And that gives you the incentive. But you can only get better with the years. I know the 28 years that I've been coaching, I began to make the same mistake. Never made the same mistake twice. Eventually you run out of some of those mistakes. But I think Manny has always been a defensive coach. I think that's where I'm talking about his involvement. Like Nick Saban's involvement with that team, if on the field is a defensive involvement, Manny is the same way. But I do think he learns, and he's done a great job at Duke of learning from the mistakes he made at Miami and correcting that at Duke. And they win with their type of kids, but they win with the defense, and he knows the defense. He knows how to operate, and that's that penetration, upfield, pressure type of defense.
How do you think Ohio State, they've owned Penn State literally like no other team. What they have done to Franklin and the Nittany Lions is almost laughable, and Franklin just can't beat them. Is it more of the same tomorrow in Happy Valley?
I think it will be, maybe because I've watched most of those games, and Ohio State still finds a way. And how many years have we watched Penn State get a great start, then they play either Michigan or they play Ohio State, and it's over. I think Penn State has a fine football game. They've got some injury and question marks at quarterback that they've got to deal with. Ohio State, after getting humiliated, beating it at Oregon, they played very badly against Nebraska, and I think that got their attention. And I still say this, and I think both experts would agree, nobody has more NFL talent on the field than Ohio State, but they're finding out it's just not the talent. You got to play the best. And I think they will against Penn State because they know how good this football team is.
Ole Miss, everyone thinks Lane Kiffin and offense, but the reality is that they have been one of the best defenses in the country, not only stopping the run, but stopping the pass, points allowed. They've been unreal, but they're going to Fayetteville, and Razorback Stadium's a tough place to play, as Tennessee found out the hard way. I hit that game with the Vols losing to the Hogs. Is 7.5 too much to lay for Ole Miss at Arkansas?
And, you know, I'm going to go with Arkansas on the points. I think Ole Miss will win the football game, and it'll be a low-scoring game. I'm going to take the under as well, but I really think Ole Miss, like you said, always known as a passing team. I've coached against Lane Kiffin. He put about 50 up on me that game. But what they're doing well at Ole Miss is they're playing. They've got number one in total defense, number two in rush defense. And to be honest with you, I watch that team, and I think of those four or five teams with a great talent. They very easily could be undefeated. They're not, and he's catching some heck for that. But I do think they'll win this game. But if you're going to take points, take Arkansas.
Oregon and Dylan Gabriel going to the Big House in Ann Arbor, and they're laying 14.5. They're the number one team in the country. They're 8-0, and he's now the favorite for the Heisman out of nowhere.
Well, you know what? This is not whether they can beat the 14. This is whether the score gets embarrassing. I mean, he's playing that well. He's throwing 76%. I still have Cam Ward right up there above him just a little bit, but they're both right up there as the top two quarterbacks in the country. But Michigan's on the, is back to their opening quarterback. They've been through three. They can't throw the ball at all. I think they're 129th in the country out of 133 teams. They've got no answers offensively. And then you've got one of the best offensive quarterbacks in the country they're playing against. So it's going to be Oregon in the football game, and you can add your points, but they're going to win against the spread as well.
Florida and Georgia in the cocktail party. Georgia humiliated Texas. They're laying 15 in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. You know what? And Florida's playing better, too. Florida's played better the second half of the season. But they lost their quarterback to an ACL, and that may be good. They've got a lot of athletic ability out of Lagway, the freshman quarterback, but he's a true freshman. Oh, by the way, when you were talking about cocktails, I thought that was your segue into this game, not the game. This is the largest outdoor cocktail party in the world in Jacksonville, Florida. But Georgia has a great defense, and they can pressure the quarterback. And you know goodwill. They're going to try to stop that run. They're good at it. And put all the pressure on that freshman to throw the ball. And this atmosphere in Jacksonville, I've been to the game. It has a great feel of a championship atmosphere. And that quarterback's going to feel the pressure of this game against Georgia. I think they put pressure on him. They get after him. And he makes mistakes because he's not ready for this showcase right here.
Real quick, I got 20 seconds. Will Pitt lose their first game at Gerald Ford in Dallas against SMU tomorrow night?
Absolutely not. They will hang on. You know what my dad used to say? I don't know what they got, but they got it. They just find a way to win. I'm going to hang with Pitt one more week to win it and beat the spread.
Narduzzi. All right, coach, you're a badass. We'll see you next week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. Dallas Cowboys. We got Dak talking here today.
Yeah, let's start to rip through all of this stuff.
We don't have Carver High on, apparently, which is frustrating in terms of his mic. How about that? Try it again. There you go.
Yep, my mic's on my end. All right, here we go. Week number 9 in the NFL. As we get ready for Sunday, let's go through all of these games. We'll start in Atlanta, Cowboys and the Falcons. Now, this is going to be a theme today, Sky. We got a lot of these teams and a lot of these guys starting to say something as the calendar turns to November. A lot of must-win games. Here's Dak.
Is this a must-win?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how to me every game is, but obviously, I mean, I get 3-4. As I've said, a lot of seasons left, but the first start to be able to say that confidently is getting back even, especially right having a couple home ones after that. Yeah.
Listen, I think the Falcons and Kirk Cousins can beat the Cowboys in Atlanta. I really do. Like, Dallas can't stop a runny nose. And this guy Cousins just keeps slinging it. I mean, he'll throw it 60 times. And he spreads it out, and they got everybody going now, even Pitts. And they got all kinds of weapons, that offense. You know, I don't know about their defense. I, you know, spoke of this yesterday. Look, they are, to me, a potential division winner and playoff problem. You got a guy like that can throw it like he does. And, I mean, he has some magnificent games with stats that blow your mind. Anyone that can do that, to me, is dangerous in a pro football game. He is a dangerous customer. He can play. Now, the funny thing about him is that he's never done anything in the postseason, right? But he's had all these magnificent stats in the regular season. That's how he gets $40-plus million a year. Now he's making even more than that. This gigantic contract he signed in Atlanta, I think he's already paid himself off. He's had huge wins down there already. I think they have a shot at that division. And if they get in the playoffs, a guy like that can be a tough customer, Mike.
Certainly can. This is now a flat 3 for Sunday. Falcons -3. I believe our biggest total of the week. Yes, it is. 51.5 for the Cowboys and the Falcons here on Sunday. I'm with you. I like the Falcons.
And I like the over based on Dallas. Like, they just give up so many points. They don't stop the run, the pass. They're all hype and no substance. They get all this attention every week. They get all the juice. Everyone's always talking about them. But what they should really be doing is making fun of them because they're a loser and they're just not that good. And I think that's why that total is so high, because Kirk Cousins is going to light them up. And in turn, I think Dak can hook up with CeeDee a couple times like he does. Like last week, he threw a couple tutties to him late, right, in the fourth quarter. They can score, too. My problem with them is they don't stop anybody. That's why that total's where it is. I like the over.
Yeah, I think we can get up in that over as well for that game. Next, the Broncos and the Ravens. Couple 5-3 teams in Baltimore on Sunday. Ravens, of course, coming off the bad loss to Cleveland last week. The Broncos, you know, they've had some big wins on the road already this year. They've won in Tampa. They've won at MetLife. But as Sean Payton will tell you now, this is by far the toughest test that the Broncos have had so far this year.
This will be our toughest challenge to date by far, and this is a real, real good football team. So, you know, getting back to last week, you know, we're not going to be able to afford a few of those errors against a good team like this.
You know, the funny thing is, they have a really good defense, right? That's their calling card. Surtain and company, they can do it all. They can stop the pass, stop the run, keep games low. And look, the defense for me is the key to this game. Can they stop, at least put some kind of problem on that running game with King Henry and Lamar Jackson? Remember, Lamar's got a knee and a back. They're both giving him problems. I don't think he's going to be going off on this defense with a bad back and a bad knee. Now, Henry's a different story altogether, but the number's so enormous. And I think Bo Nix has done a good job. Now, look, I know they beat Carolina, which is easy work. This is going to be harder. But listen, everyone keeps talking, and we showed the odds yesterday at how great Baltimore is in terms of the AFC. It's Kansas City and Baltimore going to the Super Bowl. That's it. That's who's going. But why are the Steelers are in first place in the North? Why are the Steelers a game up on the Ravens if they're so effing good? If they're so good, why'd they lose last week? Well, hadn't they won 5 in a row and then they lost? Well, I mean, if they're so good, they should win every game, right? Now they're laying a giant piece against a good defense and a decent offense with Bo Nix. Bo Nix is not afraid of being an NFL quarterback. That's painfully obvious to me at this point, Mike.
Not at all. And this is a very fat number, as you said. It's 9.5 as we sit here on Friday. 46.5 is the total. I think I'm taking it too. But, you know, one thing sticks out to me with that total. You know, the Ravens, I showed you this yesterday, 7 of their 8 games this year to the over. Raven, and I get it, Broncos D's pretty good. Ravens have had some problems defensively. I think, again, we find a way to maybe get both of these teams in the 20s. We can cover that 9.5 and maybe get over that 46.5 piece too.
Why not? Let's go. Now, I would agree with you. You know, I think Baltimore, they've had issues defensively. That's where Harbaugh has hung his hat on the pressers and in the, you know, post game. He's like, listen, we're having problems stopping people. So if Denver can go in there and score a few touchdowns, kick some field goals, then it'll go over. And then I want to see them actually really put something on that running game of Henry, like shut him down a little bit. Not that you cannot stop him, but don't let him have some big day. If they can hold him, I think if, like, miracles never cease, but if they could hold him under a C note, I think they can win the game. I really do.
We will come back. We said there's a lot of guys talking about must wins. We'll hear Joe Burrow of the Bengals do that. In our weekly segment, what the hell is Jim Harbaugh doing at these press conferences? We'll do that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We just did our segment off air of generally talking bad about people. And I told Carver Hyde that I went to a party last night. Now, listen, I like the people that had the party. Okay, so let's be fair. I do like them, and I'm nice to them. But I knew no one else. At one point, the mayor came up to me to say hi, and I don't like him either. And I was like, hey, good to meet you. It's great to meet you. I'm going to get some chicken wings. You don't mind, do you? Then I left the party, said party, to go watch the NFL game. I left my wife there. She came home with a lover 2 hours later. It was unbelievable. Mm. Now she's inviting me to another party tonight with the governor. She wants me to go to a party with the governor. And I also declined. I said, last night's party sucked so bad. There's no way I'm going to another party with you tonight to watch you like leave with some guy or something. And you introduce me to politicians. I that's not me. And as I told you, Carver High, I don't like meeting new people. I don't like, like, what am I going to spark up? Hey, what do you do? It's nice to meet you. I really like your hair.
you get like, you know, hi, this is Jim Fox in pharmaceutical sales. Good to meet you. What do you do for a living? What do you do?
I do TV. What do you mean
you talk about
TV?
Sports? Oh, you really like watching sports? You really like watching sports. That's what you do? You talk about sports all day? Yes, that's precisely what I do. You mean you just watch the games? Yeah, that's
you
it.
Know,
we just watch the games.
Carver
that's Hyde all.
Always turns
all
into
we
the
do.
Same old thing. I drink alone. Yeah, with nobody else. And when I drink alone, I prefer to be by myself.
Well, the same thing. Like, you go to parties like that, and you meet a lot of people that maybe you don't know. And I've been to a few. Like, if Nicole has got some,
the
whatever. And I'll meet some people and we'll start talking. And the line that she hates that I give out, and I do this a lot to people, and be like, we'll start talking about football. And be like, I have to watch the games on Sunday. Like, I can't go anywhere. Like, it's my job. I got to watch the games. That's it. And I see her get all red. The face gets red. You can tell she starts. And they all look, whoa, that's so cool. He's got to watch the games. He doesn't have to go out. I got to watch the games.
You got to watch them. All of them.
Got to watch the games. It's part of Sunday. You got to know what's going on during NFL season.
Bottom line is,
we know
Carver High and I do not like people.
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of put chalk it up to that as well. I guess you could say. Here is we already played you Dak saying that this week's a must win for the Cowboys. Here's Joe Burrow telling you that it is a must win also for the 3-win Cincinnati Bengals.
Joey,
this is a must win game. Yeah.
What makes you happy?
We're 3-5. You go to 3-6. Then you got to basically win out to get in. So, urgency is very high every week from here on out.
Very high.
I mean, honestly, the best thing was Macaulay Culkin dressing as Joey Silk for Pharrell Ween and doing a magnificent job of turning the trick.
And he was asked about that, by the way. And you got a little nugget about Joey Silk. Guy hates Halloween. Hates it. He's
really?
Like, what a, you know, dress it up. Like, I don't even understand it. Like, what are we celebrating? Like, that's what
what a loser. Like,
guy hates Halloween.
Halloween, like, for Halloween and Rocktober is the greatest month of the year. It really is. Truly is. Now think about this. Thanksgiving, you eat the same thing every year. It's just
year.
The worst. And then Christmas is the shopping and the traffic and the mall and then the money. And then in 5 minutes, the kids tear everything open and it's over. So you work for 2 months to get ready for this day and it's over in 30 minutes. It's over. No way does it top trick or treating candy. Like, I have 2 months of chocolate and caramel and candy, the best candies in the world. M&M's, you name it, got it all. Reese's Cups. I got 2 months of chocolate. I'm going to be fat as F, and watching kids dress up and people on TV dress up and people wear costumes is fantastic. And Joey Silk is just a party pooper.
He really is. But will he cover the 7.5 on Sunday against the Raiders? Because that's really all that matters.
No,
will he?
Because the Raiders cover every week.
Minshew Mania with the 7.5 in Cincinnati. I like it there. We'll come back.
We get a little juice from JT the Brick. Can we get a little
there
love
you go.
From JT and the
hey,
Raiders?
You're right. They suck, but they do cover every week. They do somehow find their way. All right, we'll do our weekly Harbaugh thing when we come back, and then we'll get into all the other games too. Of course, the Bills and the Dolphins. We've got the Saints and the Panthers, Washington against the Giants.
Did you wear your orange blazer trick-or-treating when you left the air yesterday?
I did not.